You're listening to the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Proverbs. And now here's Pastor Sandy in Proverbs chapter 11 with this edition of Sandy Adams Radio.
Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. In ancient times, people did business with the scales. They put the produce on one side, the money on the other side, or whatever it was they were, commodities of exchange. They would use the scales to divide up how much things cost. And here, an ancient crook, he would succeed in tinkering with the scales. Oftentimes, he would have two sets of scales. You know, on the distribution scales, his ounce was half an ounce. On the payment scales, his ounce was an ounce and a half. He had it tinkered so that he would come out on the better end. Here's the point. Be honest in your business practices. Don't cheat other people. Don't include little hidden charges. Deliver exactly what you promise. What the buyer sees is what the buyer gets. That's the way we need to do business. He says, when pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. Notice this. Pride and wisdom are strangers to each other. Pride and wisdom don't hang out together. I mean, pride drives away wisdom, and wisdom drives away pride. He says, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. You know, integrity is a great guide. You know, if you're a person of integrity, if you've made integrity a priority, that means that decisions and directions become much clearer for you. It's much easier to make decisions if you're a person of integrity, if you've concluded ahead of time that you're going to do what's right regardless. He says in verse 4, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Again, all the world's money won't help you one bit on judgment day. A right relationship with God is what's going to matter then. Verse 5, the righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, notice this, but the unfaithful will be caught by their lust. Oscar Wilde was a brilliant wit and an amazing writer. He won many literary awards. In fact, Wilde had everything going for him. But he became a slave to his own lusts. And it was his own wickedness that brought him down and ruined his life. I want you to listen to Oscar Wilde's sad confession. He said, I had almost everything, but I let myself be lured into long spells of senseless and sensual ease. Tired of being on the heights, I deliberately went to the depths in search of new sensation. What the paradox was to me in the sphere of thought, perversity became to me in the sphere of passion. I grew careless of the lies of others. I took pleasure where it pleased me and passed on. I forgot that every little action of the common day makes or unmakes character, and that therefore what one has done in the secret chamber, one has someday to cry aloud from the housetop. I ceased to be the Lord over myself. I was no longer the captain of my soul and did not know it. I allowed pleasure to dominate me, and I ended in horrible disgrace. Sobering, isn't it? This is what Solomon predicts. The unfaithful will be caught by their lust. He says, when a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish, and the hope of the unjust perishes. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. Read the story of Esther. What a wonderful example. The wicked Haman, he ends up swinging from the gallows that he built for old Mordecai. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. Reminds me of the guy who was breaking into the store, and he reached down and he grabbed a manhole cover, and he threw it through the window, and he went in and robbed the store, but when he was coming out, he fell into the manhole. The righteous is delivered from trouble, but it comes to the wicked instead. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous will be delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there is jubilation. Hey, everybody likes to see the good guy win, don't we? Isn't there something about, we want justice. God's put it in our hearts. We want to see the good guy win. Verse 11, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. Boy, a wise man or woman knows how to hold their tongue. Hey, do you realize just because you think a thought doesn't mean you have to say it? Has that dawned on you yet? The wise person can hold their tongue. They can hold their peace. Chapter 11, verse 13. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. The Hebrew word translated talebearer means blabbermouth or tattletale. I mean, guys, just because a statement is true and you know it, doesn't mean it's appropriate for you to tell it. It could be none of your business. It could be that you just need to keep your mouth closed. You know, some people just like to talk about other people. It's sad. I've heard this statement. I think it's true. Great minds talk about ideas. Mediocre minds talk about things. But inferior minds talk about people. If you talk about people, if that's what you sit down and you and your husband, you sit down and at night, you sit down at the dinner table and start talking about so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. You're just proving that you're a midget. You got a little midget mind. You're a little person. You know, you have an inferior mind. Great minds talk about ideas, things that God is doing. Scriptures, thoughts of God. Be careful. You know, I learned a long time ago, if the person I'm talking to is willing to talk about somebody else, then they're willing to talk to somebody else about me. It's true. Be careful when you talk to somebody else about another person. They're going to turn around and talk about you. Verse 14, where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You know, oftentimes the best way to get a good idea is to get a lot of ideas. Various counselors eliminate blind spots. They force you to look at a situation from different angles. It's important. There's safety in a multitude of counselors. The idea in verse 15 appears over and over in Proverbs. This is something that's reiterated. We saw it at the beginning of chapter 6, and we'll see it again in chapter 17, verse 18, and chapter 22, verse 26. Here's verse 15. He who is surety for a stranger will suffer, but one who hates being surety is secure. In other words, don't co-sign on someone else's loan. If a person can't secure a loan on their own, don't you get involved. There is a reason they can't qualify for that loan. If you co-sign, you're setting both them and you up for financial failure. You know, over the years, folks have come to me and they've asked me if I would co-sign for a loan. I always have refused. It's not biblical. Now, hey, I may have the money. I may give you the money. You know, I'm cool with that. But I'm not going to co-sign for you. The Bible tells me not to. We shouldn't obligate ourselves for other people's loans. He says, a gracious woman retains honor, but ruthless men retain riches. The merciful man does good for his own soul, but he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. The wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. As righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. Now those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their ways are his delight. Though they join forces, The wicked will not go unpunished. In other words, you can't team up against God. It doesn't matter who you team up with. If you're against God, you're going to be punished. But the posterity of the righteous will be delivered as a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. What a vivid picture. As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. All the gold in the world doesn't make a pig less ugly. And the point here is that smoking hot good looks doesn't make living with a foolish woman any less of an aggravation or a pain in the neck. I don't care how pretty she is, how smoking hot good looking she is. If she's a pain in the neck, man, it's going to get old. Physical attractiveness may be high on the list when you're looking for a wife, but it's not all that important once you've got a wife and you're trying to live with that wife. That's when you want somebody with wisdom and someone with a winsome personality and someone with kindness and someone with mercy. As the old saying goes, beauty is only skin deep. I'm glad I got a wise wife, a wonderful wife, a winsome wife, and she's a smoking hot, good-looking woman. I got it all. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. In other words, the content of your heart is what is going to color your life, the outlook of your life. Verse 24 and 25 teach us to be givers to God and gracious to people. He says, there is one who scatters, yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. Notice this. The guy who scatters, what happens? It comes back to him. He gains more. But the guy who wants to hold on to it, he ends up losing it. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. Isn't this what Jesus said? Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give and it will be given to you. Paul echoes his Lord in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Solomon says the guy who holds back from God ends up with it slipping from his fingers, whereas give it to God for safekeeping and God will return it to you with interest. He says the people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. People will curse him who withholds grain. In other words, nobody likes a stingy person. You don't get very far in life if you're going to be stingy and if you're going to be greedy. Once there was an owner of a successful company. He was a man who had all the trappings of affluence and prosperity. And he was called on by a charity. They were requesting a sizable contribution. He sat down with the representative and he said, "Now wait a minute. There's some facts about me that you don't know about. First of all, did you realize that my mom is in a very expensive nursing home?" The recruiter said, No, I didn't know that. "Well, did you know that my brother recently died and he left his family of five with no insurance?" The guy said, No, I didn't realize that. "Well, did you hear that my son is on the mission field and he needs my support?" He said, No, I didn't realize that either. The fellow said, "Well, if I don't give any money to them, what makes you think I'm going to give any money to you?" Hey, nobody likes a tightwad or a stingy person, okay? He goes on, verse 27. "He who earnestly seeks good finds favor, but trouble will come to him who seeks evil. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. He who troubles his own house will inherit the wind, and the fool will be servant to the wise of heart." Notice this, he who troubles his own house. Are you troubling your own house tonight? You know, a dad troubles his house when he's never home or when he drinks too much. A mom troubles her house and her family when they have to play second fiddle to her career or when she's always nagging at her husband or her kids. A teenager troubles his house with disrespect and a rebellious attitude. Are you troubling your own house tonight? Verse 30, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he who wins souls is wise. Here is why you and I are taking up space on planet Earth. God has us here to win souls. And I got to ask you, when was the last time you prayed with another person and invited Jesus into their life? Is that convicting to you? If you haven't prayed with someone for a while, it should be. We are here to win souls. He who is wise is those who win souls. Tragically, too many Christians are like the Arctic River, frozen over at the mouth. That's their problem. Oh, well, I'm just a witness by the way I live. Well, okay, that's good. That's good. You got to be a witness by the way you live, but you also got to open your mouth. And you got to invite someone to pray, to receive Christ. You've got to be verbal in your witness as well. Jesus has called us all to go into all the world, which includes our neighborhood and our schools and our office and the ballpark. Go into all the world and share the gospel. He says, if the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner? Boy, the wages of sin is due even before some people die. Well, chapter 12 begins, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked intentions he will condemn. A man is not established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous cannot be moved. Notice this verse. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. Ladies, here it is. Here's your choice. You can be a crown on your husband's head, or you can be a cancer in his bones. You can be his greatest blessing, or you can be his worst curse. You see, an excellent wife, she believes in her husband. She understands her man's needs, how to support him, how to prop him up. She pleases him sexually. Whereas a wife who causes shame, she's someone who's never pleased. She doubts him at every turn. She makes little cutting comments all the time. She thinks only of her own happiness. She manipulates him by withholding sex and support. I mean, every wife here tonight is either a crown or a cancer. You're an ornament on your husband's head, or you are rottenness in his bones. I mean, a wife holds incredible sway over her husband. Ladies, you are shaping your husband for better or for worse. Through a wife's wise influence, a husband can soar off the launching pad and conquer the moon. Or that same wife can sabotage the mission. Well, verse 5. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. The words of the wicked are lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright will deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. A man will be commended according to his wisdom, but he who is of a perverse heart will be despised. Better is the one who is slighted but has a servant than he who honors himself but lacks bread. That's great. That's a great proverb. What he's saying here is that public perception is a deception often. Press releases never tell the whole story. In other words, it's far better to be overlooked by the public, to be slighted. It's far better to be slighted by the public, but to have that servant say good things about you. Or to have that family that's around you most often say good things about you. You know, it's better to have the respect of the people who know you most, that's what he's saying, than to have this public reputation. Better to be honored by the man who works with you than by someone who doesn't know you and just writes a flattering article. That's what he's saying. Now here's a verse for the animal lovers in the crowd. Any animal lovers in the crowd? Yeah, here's a verse for you. Verse 10. A righteous man regards the life of his animal, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. The righteous man, he cares about his dog. I mean, he realizes that animals are created by God as well, and so he keeps his dog from barking all hours of the night so his neighbor doesn't kill it. He cares about his dog. Whereas we're told the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. The pit bull owner, he spends a lot of time with his dogs, but he's beating them and he's torturing them and he's, you know, stirring up strife and aggression in their heart. You know, we all should live in such a way to where if our dogs could talk, we wouldn't be embarrassed. You ever thought about that? What if your dog could come in and testify of you in front of the church and tell us what kind of a person you truly are? Oh boy. A righteous man regards the life of his animal. Well, you know what? It reminds me of the guy. This guy strolls into the restaurant. He's got his dog with him. The two of them are asking for a table. Well, it's a pretty highfalutin place, and the maitre d' looks at him and says, "I'm sorry, we don't serve dogs here." He said, "But you don't understand. This is a talking dog." He said, "Well, I don't believe you. Talking dog." He said, "You got to seat us. You got to give us some dinner. This is my talking dog." He said, "Prove it to me." He said, "Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to ask my dog three questions. If he answers all three questions, will you promise you're going to give me a table, going to serve me a meal? You might as well serve me a free meal." Guy said, "Sure, no problem. Let's hear it." Okay, turns to his dog and he says, "Okay, Spot, what's the opposite of smooth?" Roof. Wow, one out of one. Then he turns to him again. He says, "Okay, Spot, what's the top of the house?" Roof. Hey, two out of two. You know, the maitre d' is kind of rolling his eyes. Then he says, "Okay, Spot, now for the grand finale. Who was the best baseball player of all time?" Spot goes, "Roof." Wow, three out of three. Well, by this time, the maitre d', he's had all he can take. He grabs them both by the scruff of the neck, throws them out of the restaurant. They're laying there on the street corner, and suddenly the dog turns to his master and he says, "I guess with that last question, I should have said Aaron." Here's the moral of the story. Be kind to your animals. Verse 11, "He who tills his land will be satisfied with bread, but he who follows frivolity is devoid of understanding." In other words, playing video games all day doesn't get the grass mowed. Sons need to till their land. "The wicked covet the catch of evil men, but the root of the righteous yields fruit. The wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips." In other words, he gets caught in his own lies. "But the righteous will come through trouble. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." The fool thinks he's right. He doesn't need an objective opinion. And yet everyone else sees his folly. Verse 16, "A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame." Foolishness is apparent to all. "He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health." Words can cut deep, can they not? Some people have a knife for a tongue. There it is. They speak sharp words. We're told here the truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. I mean, keep lying long enough and people are going to stop listening to you. You'll be exposed. It said, "Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. No grave trouble will overtake the righteous, but the wicked shall be filled with evil. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. A prudent man conceals knowledge." In other words, he doesn't have to tell you everything he knows.
In today's message, Pastor Sandy continued through the book of Proverbs, a book that everyone will relate to. That's what's so great about the Bible. Every word was written intentionally for every reader of every generation, from now into eternity. It's the only book on earth that has documented truths of the past, present, and future. As you continue to read through Proverbs, try to hear the writer's intention, as if he were writing to you directly. The tone associated with accepting truth rather than false teachings should be convicting to all of us. How many ways has the world tried to corrupt your faith? Let God's perfect word guard you against these things. You've been listening to Sandy Adams Radio with our pastor and teacher, Sandy Adams. Pastor Sandy comes to us from Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain, located in Atlanta, Georgia. Are you in the area? We would love to see you this Sunday morning at 9:15 or 11:15. For more information, head over to our website, sandyadams.org, and select the About tab. Once again, that website is sandyadams.org. Pastor Sandy brings sound biblical teaching as he goes through the Bible verse by verse. You'll hear the truth loud and clear. Learn how to stick to that truth when others around you stray. We're so glad you decided to spend your time with us here today. That's all we have for now, but be sure to come back again for more on Sandy Adams Radio.